T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It is 7:17 here on this Friday morning. And, you know, normally we would be talking about the weather right now. Suffice it to say, it's going to be a decent weekend ahead with only a slight chance of rain. But when Brian Moran, who is the Secretary of Public Safety in Virginia, calls, I really want to make sure we get a chance to talk to him. And he said he had a couple of minutes to chat with us live on the air. So, Mr. Secretary, thank you for calling in. How are you?
Good morning again, John. And, you know, as we spoke last week, I thought I'd call in at the end of the week. And, you know, we poured in. I think, you know, we have some challenges with respect to modeling. I've heard you this morning even just say how, you know, we're looking at the numbers. And, you know, this morning, I think you'll see, you know, probably over 2,000 confirmed cases, and the number of deaths will probably be increased. Yesterday, 41. We're probably going to be in the high 40s today. You know, that's the general battle rhythm, which is obviously so depressing, but that is what we are experiencing. And there's more testing going on, so the numbers are increasing, but then there's also the community spread going on. And so those numbers will continue to tick up. And so, you know, the week began with the stay-at-home order. I know you covered that. You know, we're serious about people staying at home. You got to exercise physical distancing. That this is, it's a very contagious virus, and it can be obviously lethal in those who have some pre-existing conditions, and even those who are healthy. It's a pretty serious illness. So.
Well, what
again,
are you hearing
doing everything
from,
we can
from
and,
folks
yeah,
across the state? Are people generally staying home? It looks to me, on my afternoon run, at least my little world in the West End, that the traffic is almost non-existent out here, or certainly a lot
good
less
for
than
you,
normally.
Good for you for exercising. The governor did include that in his order. I know you can't go to ACAC anymore, so you're exercising, so good for you. I do think most people are complying. I mean, all along, this was a matter of we fully anticipate and expect our fellow Virginians to comply. We're really not trying to get anyone arrested or you know, the police having to interfere. We have had a few instances where people have not complied, and the officers have had to respond. But, again, it's a matter of compliance and education. The officers bond, educate everyone as to the order, and disperse people. Only a couple where I think there's been actually an arrest. So, it's in everyone's best interest. And I think as people become more and more aware of this virus, both listening at the federal level and listening to the governor and seeing the numbers, you know, it is in your best interest to comply. This is the doctor's orders. And
well, I'm looking at the numbers. I'm looking at the numbers, and I don't diminish them. And I certainly with 41 people dead, and as you say, perhaps close to 50 people dead as of this morning, I don't want to look like I don't care about those individuals. But they're not really alarming to me. Since you have sat in on the meetings where we've talked about where the governor and your team are talking about the predictions for 2 or 3 weeks on, should I be prepared for New York-like numbers in 14 days? Are you really worried about that? Is that a possibility?
we are worried about it. And as you know, I'm in the emergency management business, and you hope for the best and prepare for the worst. Mm-hmm. And so we have to. It's responsible of us to prepare for the worst. But I do think the social distancing that Virginians are practicing, and of course the density of New York. We don't have a urban jurisdiction as dense as right. New York. You've walked on Fifth Avenue or Times Square. I mean, people are literally on top of each other. So, I would not expect those kind of numbers in New York. But those are horrible numbers. I don't want anywhere near those kind of numbers. And so we're providing people with the information necessary so that we can limit the spread. And again, all of this, just take a moment to talk about the modeling. And there are a couple of several models out there that we're using, a combination of several of them, trying to get a handle on what we can expect here in Virginia. But you got the COVID-19 healthdata.org, and that's pretty optimistic. That's out of Washington. Mm-hmm. That says it's sometime in May now, but that bumps around. As a Sunday, it was May 2nd would have the peak, and then it was May 27th, and then it bounces around each day. And I think what they're looking at, of course, is the number of cases, positive cases, and the death rate. And then there's a University of Pennsylvania model. There's we use the FEMA model, but nobody really knows. There's a number of factors. Do people strictly exercise social distancing? Mm-hmm. And the whole idea with respect to the peak is so we can prepare it with our hospitals. You had Dr. Shine on. The reason the governor has ordered no elective surgery is so we can conserve PPE. I mean, everybody knows PPE now, and we're desperately short. We did receive our third stockpile shipment. That's being distributed. Our healthcare workers are in desperate need. I'm hearing every day from our sheriffs, corrections, law enforcement. They need it. So in addition to PPE, conserving PPE, we're trying to conserve bed space. So when that peak does begin to occur, mm-hmm. we obviously have adequate bed space to care for our fellow Virginians. Yeah. So I appreciated hearing from the doctor.
Yeah. I did too. I've got to ask you about this June 10th date, not to drag.
I'm glad you did. I know you all were. I know you were mentioning that. I wanted to call you earlier, and I wanted to check to make sure because I was in those early discussions.
Well, tell me what the story is behind that, because it's easy to think it's politics. You know,
it's not, John. I couldn't, John. The politics at this point is so far removed from the governor's and my consideration. I mean, we're. This is morning, noon, and night we're working. The last mm-hmm. thing we're worried about are our politics with partisanship. And Democrats have primaries on June 9th as well. So I don't think that at all was a consideration. What we did, and I'll tell you exactly what happened. It was when the first week when we decided this is in Virginia, where there was a trigger point that there were two triggers. The first coronavirus case in Virginia, would we declare a state of emergency? Or who, the World Health Organization, declaring a pandemic. Well, who had not declared? And I remember the conversations began that weekend. And then I think it was the third case that week, we had conferred. We were obviously making all the preparations necessary. We had started discussing this back in January, even most of February. We were already working in work groups, anticipating the spread. So declaration really was a formality with respect to getting people's taking it to the next level. Mm-hmm. So we declared on March 12th, and the date was, all right, let's move this. We don't want to make it indefinite because that doesn't give people the certainty they want. 30 days is too short. We ended up with 90 days. Well, 90 days... it went to June 10th. There was not consideration of the primaries at that time. At that point, we were really thinking that, maybe 90 days would be the outside, and by that time we would, it would have accounted for response and recovery by June 10th. Now, that mm-hmm. is very unlikely, unfortunately, at this point. But so every subsequent order, which is the one the governor issued on Monday, Executive Order 55, used that date as the marker. Okay, the initial order went out to the 90 days, which was June 10th, and so we're going to do executive order 55 to June 10th. And that's the way it was, John. And I've heard from many of my friends on the other side of the aisle, both sides of the aisle, and I've explained to them as well that no, John, we're all in this together, man. Democrats, Republicans, all Virginians, we got to stick together. We got to be shoulder to shoulder, 6 feet apart. But we got to. This is going to be difficult. The president, you've heard the president say that it's going to be a painful few weeks, and we got to stick together and work together as just Virginians at this point. Really, leave the politics to another day.
Well, I hope that's the case, and I appreciate you being stand up enough to address it head on. Can I ask you about the gun range situation? You know, we've had the VCDL on to talk about their frustration and quite frankly, anger that gun ranges are closed. And I know you have tried to work with law enforcement and gun activists to navigate previous situations. What's your take on this right now?
Yeah, I don't have a good answer for you. I mean, we approach the order by saying non-essential businesses. Mm-hmm. Pennsylvania went the direction and say, hey, we're going to leave all essential businesses. And then you have to have this enormous list, pages of what's an essential business. And they've already had like 13,000 requests for waivers. We had tried to approach it, learning from what other states did. Okay, here's a non-essential, except, you know, barbershops, exercise facilities, movie theaters. Obviously, those places can provide an environment for an easy spread as well, sitting right next to each other in a movie or barbershop next to each other. So that's how we approached it. And so I think that is the best way to have approached it. Now, that takes in a lot of businesses or retail establishments, such as a shooting range, that we may or may not wanted to have swept into it. But mm-hmm. I do think that was the better approach than some of these other, trying to list them one by one. We'll look at that. But at this point, it's, you know, we have to impose restrictions that would allow for the physical distance, mm-hmm. provide for physical distancing. So at this point, those are under the order.
But don't you think that the shooting ranges would be able to accommodate that? And is it your personal or professional judgment that, you know, having a well-armed militia, people who are trained and up to date on all their skills, is probably good, especially you talk about the worst case scenario, if, God forbid, we were to see looting and other acts of disobedience?
Well, we don't come to that. I will say our law enforcement, I speak to them every day around the state, and they're doing a great job. They're out on the front lines, and as long as Virginians comply, and they're still having to respond. I think I heard you mention something earlier today about people taking advantage of this, and there's a mm-hmm. special place in hell for those individuals who would exploit this for their own gain.
Yeah, that's true.
And over the internet. Now, so the Fusion Center that gives you a website, VFC, stands for Virginia Fusion Center. Okay. VFC at vfc.virginia.gov. That is a site where individuals can report. If you see anything on, John, trying to get PPE right now, we'll have to, I know I don't have enough time right now, but the stories we could tell, we were deluged with offers of N95 masks. And of course, we were desperate for them, so we tracked them down. And, you know, many of them were not legitimate. We did not spend any money on those, by the way, because we did vet them and we were careful. But, there's just some really despicable people out there trying to take advantage of this. And I'm proud of law enforcement tracking them down.
Brian Moran is the Secretary of Public Safety, and I know you got to go. I really appreciate you calling in. And
I do. I got everything. My 7:30 meeting with the governor and watching today.
Okay. Well, please give him my best.
I will, and I'll try to call in next Friday as well if we can do this regularly. Give you a summation of the week if it's helpful.
Okay, Brian Moran, thank you very much.
Great, thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.